right, good morning. Hope you're all doing well. And if you would, please turn to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. It's good to be back and see you all again. I told the Sunday school class, but a lot has happened. I think it was right at the end of June, maybe it was July 4th weekend, I think was the last time I was here. And that Sunday, the next day, my daughter Amy had a minor procedure, and the doctor nicked an artery on accident and caused internal bleeding, and she spent a week in the hospital and had to be life flighted to Peoria, but she's doing well now. So, but I was talking to Tom back there. It's just important that we pray for one another. We never know what our brothers and sisters in Christ are going through. So it's important that we pray. And I know many of you in here have some health issues, and I hope you're praying for one another. But here in Daniel chapter 1 this morning, I'm just going to read one verse. And that is verse number 8. And the Bible says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get started this morning. Father, Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege and freedom we have to be in church. I pray, Lord, that you'd meet with us here today. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd fill me with your power. And Lord, I pray that each person here would listen in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we would not miss what you have for us this morning. And we thank you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I think that this verse is a great verse for everyone to memorize. But I think young people definitely need to memorize this verse. And it's important that it says there, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. And, you know, there's an old saying, I can't remember where I heard it at right now, but it's easier to keep the heart clean than it is to clean it after it's been defiled. And it's easier to keep yourself right with the Lord than it is to get right after we defile ourselves, is what it's saying. And young people, listen, we need to have a purpose in our heart that you're not going to defile yourself. Okay, the world does whatever they want to do, but the Bible has principles for how to live right as a young person. Okay, and we ought to, young people, it's okay to stay pure until your wedding night. That's what the Bible says, okay? And by the way, that's a great testimony. One of the best testimonies I ever heard was after I was 24 years old when I got saved, and we had a family conference, and a lady stood up and said, "When I was a teenager, I asked my dad if I could go on a date, and you thought the world was coming to an end." And she said, "However, on my wedding night, that was the first time I ever touched a man. And I want to thank my dad for having rules for me to help me live for the Lord." And I remember sitting there hearing that testimony and just weeping. You know what? The world needs to see that kind of stuff from us. How do we do that? Because we have a purpose in our heart that we're not going to defile ourselves. Daniel was a teenager, and this, when this was said about him, and defile means polluting or staining. When I was in Mexico, we took a group of teenagers to Mexico, and I was preaching at a youth rally down there, and I said sin, and the interpreter said contamination. And I looked at him, and I said sin, and he said contamination or something. He said it, but basically, the translation was contamination. And that's what sin does to us. It contaminates us. Okay? And Daniel was not going to be contaminated because he had a purpose in his heart that he was going to do right. And by the way, everything that we tell young people that they need to be successful was taken away from Daniel. He was taken away from his family. He was taken away from his church. He was taken away from everything, if we can say it like that. But yet he had a purpose in his heart that he was not going to defile himself. Now, what does this mean? This is a big deal, by the way. If he refused the king's meat, he could have been put to death right then. Okay? But he went. Here's where Daniel's heart was at. His relationship with God was more important to him than anything else, even if it meant they were going to take his life. His relationship with God came first. And by the way, it's okay to live like that. It's okay for our relationship with the Lord to be number one in our lives. And that's how we ought to live. And this food that they were trying to feed him was probably not kosher from the Levitical laws. It was probably sacrificed to idols. And eating it implied fellowship with the Babylonian culture, with this worldly culture. And he wasn't going to do it. So he goes to the eunuch and he asks, hey, look, I don't want to eat this because I don't want to defile myself. And look at verse 15. So the eunuch grants his request, and he tells him, then said in verse 11, then said Daniel the Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. Let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Pulse was herbs or vegetables. He says, here, just try it for 10 days. Because they were worried that they were not going to be strong enough if they weren't eating like everyone else. And he said, just give us 10 days and let's see what happens. And it says in verse 13, then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. Verse 14, so he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. Now look at verse 15. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. And can I say this? It's always better to do things God's way. Always. They did things the right way, and they appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children that did whatever they wanted to do. And listen, young people, when you marry the right way, God's way, it's always better than when the world marries. Always. I've been to weddings in my family, and sometimes I think to myself, you know, it's the world. And then 2 years ago, my daughter Caitlin got married, and as a dad, I remember we were downstairs, the auditorium was above us, all the bridesmaids had walked up, it was just me and her, and I had this great speech I was going to give her. You know, I'm so proud of you, Caitlin, you've done things the right way. And I started to talk to her, and I was the last thing in the world on her mind. And I'm looking at her, and she's looking up the stairs. And you know what I did? I just stepped back and said, Lord, she did things right. This is her day. There was a glow about her. Okay? And I'm not going to get in the way of that. So I just stepped back and let her enjoy her day. But you know what I thought? She did things the right way. And this is how it should be when we live for the Lord. There's no regrets. You know how many regrets we have because we don't purpose in our heart that we're not going to defile ourselves. And then what happens when we defile ourselves? We live with regret. And Daniel took a stand. He was not going to defile himself. And this morning we're talking about some lessons we can learn from Daniel. And the first one is, listen, we need to have a purpose in our heart. There's some things that we just ought not to do. There's some places, that words that we ought not to say. You understand, when Peter denied Christ, do you know the language he used to prove that he wasn't with Jesus? They said to him, no, his speech identifies him with Christ. And what did Peter do next? He cursed. That kind of stuff does not identify with Christ. You know, I used to tell my coworkers, look, you can talk without using that kind of language around me, okay? And by the way, when I go into a restaurant and the music is too loud, I call the waiter or waitress over and say, ma'am or sir, I'm not complaining too much, but is there any way you could turn that down? I can't even hear. And you know what they've always done? They go and turn it down. You know, we don't have to be a jerk about things, but we can still take a stand for things, for the Lord. And it comes because of a purpose in our heart. It's okay. It's okay to do right. It's okay to have a good testimony. It's okay not to defile ourselves with the things of the world. And Daniel is a great example of this. I love that verse. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. So the next thing, if you flip over to chapter 5, Daniel chapter 5, and we'll read verse number 12. Well, let's start in verse number 11. Verse number 11 says, there is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, we found in him whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. And verse 12, for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts, we found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. But the first phrase there in verse 12 says, for as much as an excellent spirit. We see here that Daniel not only had a purpose in his heart to do right, but he had an excellent spirit. Now, this is not talking about the Holy Spirit. This is a lowercase s in our Bible. It's talking about his countenance. You know, when people were around Daniel, he had an excellent spirit. Now, understand where he's at. He's a captive. He's not around his family. He's got a few friends. By the way, there was four that they named. The rest of them were just doing whatever they wanted. So even his brethren, you understand what it's like when somebody does right and everybody else is doing wrong? Do you know the things that are said about the person doing right by everybody that's doing wrong? They're making fun of them. They're putting them down. But it didn't matter to Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah. They were going to do what was right. And by the way, Daniel had an excellent spirit about him. He didn't feel like he had to stoop to their level. He didn't, he just did what was right, and he did it with a smile on his face. We were just talking about this back here. Sometimes life brings difficulties. Daniel went through some difficulties, but it was said, this was his testimony. that he had an excellent spirit. I mean, the world, our co-workers, what we were talking about, your boss at work that's mentioned about your faith. You know what they're saying? You had an excellent spirit going through some difficult times. How do you make it through heartaches? How do we make it through difficulties? We do it by keeping our eyes on the Lord, but then our testimony is, boy, that guy or that lady has an excellent spirit about him. And what does that mean? It means, positive, desire to do right, treating others well. You know, Daniel could have thrown an absolute fit and said, I'm not eating that stuff. But you know what he did? He requested of the prince of the eunuchs. He went to the who was in charge of him and made a request. Listen, I'd rather not eat this stuff. And because he had an excellent spirit, the prince of the eunuchs worked with him. Sometimes we as Christians, we make it so difficult for people to want to work with us because we don't have an excellent spirit. And really, it's not, that's a shame. When the lost world walks away and says, if that's a Christian, I'm never going to be one, that's a shame. That's an absolute shame. And by the way, we control our spirit. We control our spirit. When my daughter was life flighted from Pontiac to Peoria, the only time I got a little upset the whole time was when they came in. Now, she's not 26 yet, so we still carry her on our Blue Cross and Blue Shield insurance. But a caseworker came in and said, now, if you get any unexpected bills, well, I hadn't slept in like 48 hours or 52 hours. And many of you in here know I've had 12 surgeries. It's uncomfortable sitting in a hospital chair. You're worried. I was not in the mood to hear about unexpected bills at that time, okay? I said, listen, if she has any unexpected bills, we're going to give them to the doctor that caused this, okay? And my wife tapped me on the knee, and I said, I'm sorry. And the nurse came over and said, no, I would have said the same thing. I said, but that doesn't make my attitude about it right, okay? So when I was leaving, the caseworker saw me, and she came out and said, what happened? I said, look, I'm sorry. You're doing your job. I never should have said that stuff. And she goes, well, you really weren't that mean. And I'm thinking to myself, who knows what she has to deal with, you know? So even me thinking I didn't have a great spirit was probably, you know, one of the nicest things she heard all day when she's talking to somebody about medical bills, okay? But that doesn't make it right. So I said, look, the doctor made a mistake. It doesn't matter. It's all going to work out. I just, when you said that, I'm going to the hotel right now to sleep, and I'll be in a better mood when I wake up. And she said, no, here's what I want you to do. And she helped me. Anyway, that's all I need to say there. Other than, there's no excuse for us to have a bad spirit. Okay? You know why I felt so bad? Because here we are giving these nurses tracts, telling them about the Lord, and then I start to have a bad spirit about something. It's more important to have a good testimony. It's too important to have a good testimony. And I control that, by the way. I didn't have to say anything. And I did. We control our spirits. Okay? And again, I already said, here's Daniel. He's a captive. He was taken from his homeland. And those people said, for as much as an excellent spirit. Wouldn't it be a great testimony if the world could look at us and say, man, they got an excellent spirit about them. They got a smile on their face even though they're going through a difficult time. Now, If we were to flip back to Genesis chapter 4, we would read about a man named Cain who had a choice to make. He had a brother named Abel. They gave a sacrifice to the Lord. Abel brought of a lamb or an animal and sacrificed it like he was taught. And the Bible says Cain brought fruit of the ground. Okay? Abel's sacrifice was accepted by the Lord. Cain's was not. And you know what? God says to Cain, "Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen?" Cain gave of something that he did. He used one of his, instead of doing things God's way, he did things the way he wanted to do. And when it wasn't accepted, he got mad and it showed on his countenance. You understand? Daniel had an excellent spirit. Cain's countenance was fallen and it showed. And my point in that is, listen, people can see on our faces what we feel in our heart. And I love what God says to him. He says, "Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen?" And this is in Genesis chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. And God says this, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?" Do you know what, listen, do you know what Cain could have done right then? He could have went and made the proper sacrifice and did things God's way. But he didn't. He allowed himself to continue to get angrier and angrier, and finally in his wrath he slew his brother. Why is it that when things are pointed out to us sometimes, instead of doing what's right, we get mad and angry? We control our actions. Cain controlled his decision. He controlled his spirit. He could have been rebuked by the Lord and then still done what was right. But nobody has ever said about Cain that he had an excellent spirit about him. You know what they say? "Why is thy countenance fallen?" He had a wrong spirit. But Daniel had an excellent spirit. And listen, we all go through things. We all are going to have things come our way. We're all going to have roadblocks. It was said of Joseph that he had a vine that went over the wall. You know, Joseph had roadblock after roadblock after roadblock. And he just kept serving the Lord. God was with him. God was with him. And by the way, everywhere Joseph went, because he had an excellent spirit, he had favor in Potiphar's house, in the jail. God, and then eventually with Pharaoh. Do you think life was fun for Joseph in those years? No. But he had an excellent spirit. How do we keep an excellent spirit? Because we keep our eyes on the Lord. We understand that God is with us no matter what we're going through. And, you know, we had a football camp this last week, and there was probably 500 visitors that came to little old Dwight, Illinois. And it is a interesting week, okay, to say the least. And somehow I have the job of, if there's an issue, they call me to go and help settle it. And you know, I have to keep a good spirit sometimes because grown men are mad because their player got a penalty called on them that they didn't agree with, okay? But listen, one of the things that makes that successful is most of the men have a good spirit. And they realize, here's the focus. We're trying to help young men find God's will for their life. Okay? And if we could go through life realizing that, number one, we need to be in God's will for our life, and then number two, everybody we come in contact with, we have an opportunity to impact them for eternity. Not just for today, but for eternity. How many people have we not had an excellent spirit and left a bad testimony, and who knows if they'll ever get saved? I had an old friend. He just passed away in the last year. His first name was Fournier. Now, I don't know who, I hope nobody in here's name's Fournier, but I don't know whose mom and dad decided to name him that. Well, his last name was Buckner, so we just called him Buck because that's a lot easier than Fournier, okay? And even he said, you know, just call me Buck because, but he had brothers that were pastors. He had a sister that married a missionary, and he didn't get saved until he was 50 years old. And one time I said to him, Buck, you know, you were raised in a good home. How come you didn't get saved till you were 50? And he said, well, as I got older, and here's exactly what he said. He said, sometimes I'd go into the bar after work and I'd see all the people from the church in there. They were no different than me. He said, what do I need to get saved for? I mean, that's a shame. Okay? But here's the thing. Like the caseworker at the hospital. Now, what I said to her was mild compared to, but you know what? I shouldn't have acted like the world, the people that she deals with every single day. You don't have to be in a bar to have a bad testimony. And I wouldn't want it said of me, that guy's spirit is just like everybody else in this world, and why would I want to get saved? Do you understand what I'm saying? It shouldn't be said of us by the world that they're just like we are. No, Daniel, it was said of him, he has an excellent spirit. He's different. There's something different about him. So he had a purpose in his heart. He had an excellent spirit. And then in chapter 6, we'll read a couple verses here. Chapter 6, verse 4 and 5 says, then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. You know, Daniel was faithful to the Lord. What a great testimony. We can't find any occasion against him unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Now, he wasn't sinless, but he was blameless in man's eyes. And, you know, when you run for office, of any kind of political office, I don't know how they do it, but there are people out there, if you have skeletons in your closet, they're going to find them, right? I mean, they are going to find them. And there's a lot of good people that have quit as they started to run for an office, and then they quit because somebody dug up something in their past. But you know, Daniel had no skeletons in his closet. He was blameless. So how are we going to get this guy? He was faithful. So what are they going to do? Verse 6, then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. And all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. So they make a decree here that you cannot ask any petition of any god or man for 30 days except for the king. Now, verse 8, now, O king, establish a decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius, sign the writing and the decree. So, they give an official order. That's what a decree is. You cannot make any petition to any god or anyone else except for the king for 30 days. Okay? Now, here's how faithful Daniel was. Look at verse number 10, the first four words. Now, when Daniel what? Knew. He knew that the writing was signed. He knew that if he bows down and prays to God, he knows it's a death penalty. But he was faithful. He went into his house, his windows being opened. He wasn't going to hide. In his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. And then look, you know, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days save of thee? O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. The king answered and said, The thing is true according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Daniel knew the decree. He knew the consequences, but he was faithful to his God, even though it meant he was going to be cast into the den of lions. You know, we need to learn from Daniel that he had a purpose in his heart, that he had an excellent spirit, and that he was faithful to God, no matter the consequence. He was loyal, steadfast. He wasn't going to move. And by the way, the world needs to see loyalty to God. You know how many times in life that people have said, how can you go through this with a smile on your face? How do you get through this? And the answer should be, because I serve a great God. That's more important to me than anything that's going on. And by the way, we're not far from here in America of laws. They're already working them in that affect the Christian and how we're going to worship in the future. We have no excuse to not stay faithful to God, no matter what law or decree man passes. And Daniel was faithful, and you know the story. He was cast into the den of lions, and the Lord delivered him. But Daniel didn't know he was going to be delivered. God protected him. It didn't matter what the consequence was. He was faithful to God. And listen, God, if we went around the room today and we talked about all the things that God has done for us, nobody on earth has ever treated me like my God has treated and loved me. Nobody. I had a father that walked out when I was 9. My Father in heaven has never walked out on me. By the way, there's been times when I haven't been the greatest of his children, but he's always right there. I love the story of the prodigal son. When he came to himself and he decided, I just want to be a servant in my father's house. When he went back home, his father was on the porch waiting for him. And he had this whole speech, I'm going to say, and he didn't even get hardly any of it out. His father was right there hugging him. You know, every time, and by the way, if you feel far away from the Lord, guess who moved? It wasn't him. He's always right where he's supposed to be. This last week at football camp, we had a boy named Charlie Griggs, and I'm very good friends with his father, and I remember about 4 years ago, I got a text at 12:30 or 1 in the morning from Jay, his dad, and it said, hey, can you pray for us? Charlie just ran away. And Charlie decided he wanted to do things his way. He had a whole plan. He ran away. And he ran away from everything he was taught, everything. And he went out into the far country, so to speak. And about a year ago or a year and a half ago, he came back. He called his dad, said, the Lord's dealing with me. And he got things right. He moved back to Illinois. His dad pastors a church. He goes to church there now. So we let him give a testimony this last week. And, I mean, it was powerful. But you know where it started? It started, he said, when he was 9 or 10 years old. And he started thinking, I know better than my mom and dad know. And it just got worse and worse the older he got, till when he was 16, he just took off, or 17. And you know, he didn't have a purpose in his heart that he wasn't going to defile himself. And because of that, he got a bad spirit. And then he wasn't faithful. It starts with a purpose in our heart. And now he did that to his earthly mom and dad, but you know what happens a lot of times? We as older people, we walk away from our Father in heaven because we don't have a purpose in our heart, that we're not going to defile ourselves. And all it takes is for the devil to get one little thing worked in our life. One area of contamination. And then, like a cancer, it just starts to spread. And before we know it, we have a terrible spirit. And then, why do I want to pray to a God? And before you know it, we're ineffective for the Lord. You know, Daniel has some characteristics that we can learn from and we can use to stay faithful to the Lord.